I'm driving today. I got some construction equipment in the back here, so you hear some bouncing around. I'm headed out to finish a project for a missionary family that I love and support who's in Africa, and I have built them a porch on the back of their home. Nothing huge, but it'll be huge for them and a blessing to them when they get home here in a few months. It was much needed in the back of their home. So I'm driving, I've got some equipment and some plywood sheets bouncing around in the back, and bear with me on the sound quality, but I wanted to record something while I have this drive out into the desert here in the month of May in 2022, this Texas desert that I'm currently living in, on viability. The argument of viability, and it's fresh on my mind because current, as of last week, SCOTUS leak that the worst terrorist attack ever committed against a society, which was Roe v. Wade, of the 9 Supreme Court quote-unquote justices. You cannot call them justices, as what they did is anything but just, perpetrated this act of political activism through the court on nearly now 70 million babies that have been slain in my country by the excuse of abortion. And so this is fresh in the cultural, societal, conscientious, civics approach. And of course, the Democrats, which is the party of death, I don't believe any Christian could possibly ever vote Democrat today. Just going to throw that out there. Are trying to make Roe the law of the land, and of course Supreme Court doesn't make laws, but we've opened that Pandora's box in our culture, and we are in fact seeing some of the fall of this, the fallout. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, it just goes back to the states, and states can make decisions in their own jurisdictions for abortion laws within their state. It does not ban it, unfortunately, the process of abortion, the act of abortion. It does not and would not ban it nationwide, but it would return the issue to the states to allow Texas to keep its heartbeat bill in place, and other more wicked run states that allow for abortion up to and even after they're trying the time of birth would still be possible. But this is a good thing. If the Supreme Court does the right thing instead of the wrong thing that some of these predecessors of theirs did, who were nominated by both Republicans and Democrats, actually more Republicans than Democrats, please keep that in mind. No party has done the right thing enough regarding abortion and made it illegal nationwide. That would be the only just thing to do, in my opinion. But anyway, this whole issue is fresh on my mind because of this. And the argument of viability is something that the pro-death persons want to use. The baby's not viable. And I just want to say, viability must be based on reasonable expectation. Viability must be based on reasonable expectation. Otherwise, it is not a question of viability, it's an absurdity. So I want to examine the idea of viability briefly with you. The argument goes something like this. The baby's heartbeat is when life begins, some would say. And that happens somewhere around 6 to 8 weeks. We are aware that that little heartbeat, and I've seen data go back and forth much earlier than that, like a lot earlier than that. But let's just say that it's sometime around then. You're in that first trimester. The heartbeat is where some want to ascribe viability. Really, the argument of viability becomes defined by the pro-death as, if the baby was removed from the womb today, could he or she breathe, their heart keep going, their brain waves, etc.? That's the question of viability, that you are viable. Now, every parent knows that your kid isn't viable to survive on his own until he's, you know, like 10 years old, until she's like 10 years old. And so it's on its face, a very dangerous argument that no one ought to take very seriously who believes in has ethics. It's really an unscrupulous kind of a lawyer's trick. The question of viability, like you must be, you know, this tall to ride this ride, and the kid weeps at 65 inches tall because he's not 69 inches tall and can't ride the ride. It's just slippery slope at best. But viability, which is this argument of a baby being able to survive outside the womb, and obviously that's not at 6 weeks, you know, so it's down the road, and some people then want to say, well, then it's okay to murder the kid. You know, if it's before then, it's okay. If it's after then, well, then it's murder. I mean, that's just patently silly to say, and it's more than silly, it's wicked. I mean, of course, no one in their right mind is should be saying this. So a very demonic spirit has swept the world and has swept the U.S. in the murder of the unborn. All right, but it's an unreasonable expectation to expect a baby to survive outside the womb up to a certain developmental position. And so it's unreasonable to ask the question of viability. It's just as unreasonable as me expecting anyone listening to this, who may be a grown man or grown woman, you are not viable in the middle of the Pacific Ocean for very long. It's unreasonable for me to expect that you would be. If you put a man or a woman on the surface of the moon, not in a spacesuit, he or she is not viable in that place. Hence, it would be murderous to drop a man in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and say, well, if he's viable, he'll survive. Or to drop a man or a woman anywhere that it's unreasonable, in the middle of a forest fire. You're not viable. And so viability has to be based on a reasonable expectation. So obviously, a baby at such a young stage that is designed in those processes of human development, where we all at one point began 100 times smaller than the period on any sentence you've looked at in the last week. We all started there. That's where we came from. You and me, and by the way, amazingly, we know this through science and technology and the development of our understanding of genetics and how God did this from the beginning, in seed form, passing on a man and a woman becoming one flesh in their child. Everything that uniquely made you into you, listener, was present microscopically on the day of your conception, when the chromosomal makeup that is yours became you in that egg, in that fertilized egg. Amazingly, everything that now makes you you was from that point present and needed to multiply. Cells divide, mitosis and meiosis and all of the protein building that your cells know how to do, and you have trillions of them, but they all began in some small quantity, some small size, microscopically. You couldn't even see it on the table. Everything that uniquely makes you you was there on day zero. Like, the day wasn't elapsed when you were conceived, and everything that uniquely makes you into you was there microscopically. So obviously, between now and then, it is a matter of development. And it is unreasonable to expect an infant to be viable. If I took my 9-month-old baby, and born, and on the day of her birth, then we sort of call that the birthday, but really at that point, they're already 9 months old, give or take, right? That's the normal gestation period inside the mother's womb. When I take my 9-month-old baby on day one, I have 4 kids, 3 daughters, 1 son. None of them were viable on day one. It'd be unreasonable to assume that they would be. And so I can't take my infant child, put him down in front of a TV with a Lunchable, and say, eat your breakfast. It's an unreasonable expectation. So viability becomes an absurdity when it is not based on a reasonable expectation. And so for anybody to ascribe viability to a baby 1 week old in the womb of the mom is unreasonable. Of course the child is not viable when it's 1 week old in the womb. It's not designed to be. It cannot be. And so the question of viability goes out the window. So I'm not arguing that there is a level of viability. I'm saying the viability argument is entirely unreasonable. Because no baby prenatal, no baby in the womb is ever viable. It has to be given the time to develop. It has to be given the reasonable expected provisions of nutrients and of care, or it will die. The baby will die. And everybody knows that. And so if you take chronologically, listener, and you do this, and this, I wrote a book on abortion about a year ago, put it out. It's a PDF available on my website. You go into the articles section. It's cleverly entitled Abortion. It's on abortion. I'm really good at marketing. And you can read this book, and in this section, there's a part that talks about the science of chronology. And there are many proofs that I give to just try to aid anybody who's not given over entirely to darkness on the matter to understand the human nature of the baby from the day of conception. There's no biblical wiggle room here. The moment you know there's a life, it is duty to protect it. That's what real men and real women do. All right, but I wrote in there about the science of chronology. And I gave many proofs that prove that you were you, and that the baby in the womb is a baby, you know, everything. This is known to anybody that's not trying to not know it. The science of chronology. Simple formula, you know, take the amount of minutes in a year, add how many years you've been alive, and yeah, this is obviously approximate. Nobody knows the moment they were conceived, but you can literally work this out to the very day. And if you know your birthday, you can go from then to the very hour in which you're working. If you did it today, presently at 1700 and 1712 on my clock right now, if you worked out the math, you would know from the moment you were born exactly how many hours. You could do months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, seconds you've been alive. Now, the reason this is a valuable exercise to some who are not given over to complete darkness on the matter is that you can prove, therefore, that the person to whom you're speaking, that you've just done that little exercise with, is not just the product of those hours, minutes, and seconds. That they are the product instead of, you can ask them, how long were you in your mother's womb? Did mama ever tell you? Well, I was only in her womb for 8 months. Okay, and then take the average number of minutes, or the number of minutes in a month, and add it up, and it's obviously an approximation. Only God knows the very second you were conceived sexually by your mom and your dad. But you were you, and you're the product of those hours, minutes, and seconds, depending on how you work it out, weeks, months, etc., by necessity. You are not just from birth till today. You, and if you could see, if I was writing this, I'd put asterisks on each side of the Y and the U. You were you from the moment of your conception. And by necessity of chronology and science of simple math, you can add up exactly how long you have existed, guessing to the very hour of your or day of your conception. And so it becomes a valuable exercise for people to see. You got to add the minutes from birth to the minutes prior to birth to have anybody doing that exercise talk about exactly how old they are. And it's kind of fun too. And you can say, well, I've been alive this many hundreds of thousands of this, however you choose to quantify it. And I give you those numbers to work with in the book. So you can just plug in your data and do this. And I've seen it work with people that are, you know, maybe struggling with some of this and they want to think about it. I will talk about how we can prove that anybody is anybody by the minutes and seconds, and that that necessitates prior to birth. Obviously, you didn't just come to be on day one of your birth. So I'm saying that viability is an argument we need to throw out. It's not based on ethics. Really, what someone is doing when they use the viability argument is trying to make the excuse. because most abortions do happen within the first trimester. And most states have been hesitant to make rules or laws. You know, they don't want to face lawsuits and everything else in that first trimester. That's where most abortions take place, very early on. You know, you get, let's not even talk about rape and incest that much because it's not the issue. And the health of the mother is not the issue. In the book, I cite numerous researchers and former surgeon generals and others who say that in the history of medical science in the U.S., it has never once been an issue where we have to say it's either the baby or the mother's life, and you could tell that from day one or something. You can't do it. So that's a fallacious argument. The idea of rape is difficult. We still shouldn't allow for abortion, but we're not having this national debate because of cases of rape, nor are we having it based on cases of incest. Neither situation should allow for a rape. If you want to kill anybody, you kill the rapist, not the innocent baby. The baby didn't do anything deserving of murder. So we got to deal with that and come alongside those victimized women, and I would support executing the man, or at the very least, imprisoning him for life. Castration, you know, that's kind of hard, but, you know, something where he would never enjoy the pleasure of sex again would be okay. I think that's reasonable if you rape a woman, but really you should die. I support the death penalty for rapists. The coming alongside the women is not the reason we're having this national debate. The 99 percentile of abortions that are matters of abortion on demand, convenience, meaning you need no cause, no justification. This terrorist attack of the supremacist court in the U.S. in 1973 in Roe, or Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which came after, these horrible decisions that argue fallaciously under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that a woman's right to an abortion is covered by the right of privacy. That's how this ridiculous, unjust, it's not a law, this unjust ruling of the Supreme Court has been somehow perpetrated on American society. Again, it was judicial activism. It's a very profitable industry. It is a known fact that the black population in America, the Planned Parenthoods, were built and still exist around minority communities in greater abundance. Black women in the United States, and they're not innocent, they're the guilty, but black women in the U.S. make up only 7% of the U.S. population, or is it 9%? Somewhere between 7 and 9% of the U.S. population, and they account for almost 40% of the abortions. And if abortion was illegal, the black population in the country, men and women, would literally be double what it is now if the babies weren't murdered. And now, again, these black women, these black men, they're not innocent. They're not victims. They are the guilty perpetrators. But the Margaret Sangers and the racists and eugenicists that founded things like Planned Parenthood got what they want, that black people are not reproducing as much, because they're murdering their own babies. This is a fact. Viability is not an option. Abortion going on is not good in any community. And we all know this, and we see this on a national scale being played out. But if Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned, it'll be overturned on one constitutional basis. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, they both speak about the right of liberty, life, pursuit of happiness in the Declaration. The Constitution upholds the blessing, plural, blessings of liberty to ourselves, to our posterity. That's why governments exist, not to grant the rights of human beings, but to safeguard the rights of human beings. And yes, Christianity corrected that error to black people, that it was being denied to them their rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness as we define it properly better today in chattel slavery. Christianity put an end to that in the world and on the world stage. But Roe v. Wade will be overturned because the constitutionality of protecting the baby who is always to be based on a reasonable expectation of viability, viable therefore from day one, he or she will have constitutional rights to life. That'll be what overturns the unjust Supreme Court ruling in the case of Roe versus Wade. And it would be a great thing. And I'll finish with this. I hope that our nation does ban abortions one day. I really do hope that one day my great-grandchildren will stand in museums built like I've been to Germany, and I've stood in halls and looked at Auschwitz or Dachau, Buchenwald. These, you know, Flossenbürg was to me the best, was in Flossenbürg. Memorials built to remember the Holocaust. And we stand there and you see the pictures of the gas chamber, and you wonder how anybody could strip human beings nude, put them in a room telling them they're going to shower them, and gas them to death, men, women, and children, and kill them. And you're just taken back, and it turns your stomach, and it the modernity of it kind of hits me. You know, these are men and women that, you know, were in a more advanced society. I don't know, maybe it's just, I don't think it's just me, but you think about someone doing this to someone, you know, 5,000 years ago, it's one thing. But when you think of it 50 years ago, 80 years ago, you kind of go, there's just something you don't expect in it even more. Again, I don't think it's just me. I hope my children walk through museums in the future, maybe my grandchildren, and their stomachs are turned at the Planned Parenthoods and the pictures on the wall of the instruments used to burn the babies with acids or slice their throats, to decapitate them, or to crush their little skulls, or to tear their little limbs off with vacuum suction precision, and to have this celebrated. You know, it's some right to life, and the evil and the Democrat Party. Now, these nuts, these religious leftist nut job extremists that view this as a sacrament of their own religion, it's truly macabre. It's ghoulish. It's worse than Halloween, man. And I hope that museums are built to say, this is how bad a society can get. You thought the Nazis were bad? We were killing babies before they were born. The Nazis put to death about 11 million. We put to death almost 70 million. And it's going to have pictures of the ladies, the OBGYNs in the white coats smiling, and the receptionists, what we call the death escorts, you know, escorting the quote-unquote women into the back to murder their own kids. They're not victims. Any woman that had an abortion is a murderer and will face God's judgment as a cold-blooded murderer, unless the cross removes your sin and your sin is not imputed to you. You've had an abortion. There's a very low place in hell for you. So you're not innocent. I know we have a culture that has reduced sex to a handshake, and it is what has produced the abortion holocaust. And so there's a bit of a wickedness in one area that has created the other. And so there's a bit of a duping of a whole generation to think so much sex is okay, so that abortion just sort of becomes an acceptable thing, but you're still not innocent. And I must stress this for the sake of your own soul. You're not innocent, lady. And man, if you know you got a woman pregnant and your solution was whatever, maybe just paying a little money or just, you know, endorsing them to go to the clinic and get it taken care of, or maybe you even went there and held her hand and bought her McDonald's on the way out, something like that, you're not innocent. You will face God for the judgment of a cold-blooded, premeditated homicide. If the cross does not remove that sin, if Jesus' righteousness is not yours, that sin is imputed to you you've earned the wages of sin is death, there's a very low place in hell for you. So repent and believe the good news, man or woman. This is your only salvation, your only hope is the cross of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. But I hope that gives you something to think about as you consider what viability is based on, that it is based on an unreasonable expectation. Okay? So we should throw it out. Get rid of the viability argument, because from the day of conception, that little life is what it is. And if given time, like if you put a marble on the far side of a desk that slants towards you, if you let the marble go, it's gonna get to you on the other side of the table, on the other side of the desk, unless something gets in the way. Of course, early on, the baby's not viable. It's unreasonable to assume that they are. The womb is a place designed for non-viable people to grow up and to become what they will, like that marble, will get to the other side of the desk, unless something gets in the way with a knife. I hope that gives you something to think about, something to argue. So whenever somebody comes to you with this ridiculous idea of viability, just try to explain to them, if they're not totally given over to the darkness in this matter, that it's based on an unreasonable expectation. Of course the baby's not viable. You're not viable in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And it's unreasonable to assume that you are. And so you're being unreasonable to assume that any baby is viable. They're not. And so the whole argument is to be put down and life to be protected from the moment that mother and father know that there's a life in there. The moment, and usually that shows up very early in a young lady or in a lady's life, the morning sickness, the missing of the menstrual cycle. That's when I think of, the moment you know that there's a life in you, it is your duty to not murder that baby. That is a fact. There is no gray area regarding God's opinion on this matter than that. There is zero. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, don't you murder. Perfectly applies from the moment that lady and that man, if he's around, if he's not a loser that just did that and left, those two people, the moment they know there's a baby in there, that baby should be guaranteed every constitutional protection, everything that we enshrine as citizens, they should have applied to them. But even higher than the law of our land is the law of our God, our Creator, who makes you microscopic from day zero. It's the way He designed to do it. It's amazing. And we should all hope that Roe v. Wade is overturned. And if it is, I will hold a public ceremonial burning of the idea, and I will film it, and I will put it online, and I will say, this is the decision of Roe v. Wade, and I will watch it burn, and I will be very happy. And for once, maybe in a long time, I will feel some sense of pride as being an American. I've had some, you know, here or there, different things, and find myself really sad that I find myself loving the idea of America more than America because of all that we do. And this is the issue. There's no other issue that bothers me more than abortion. Nothing. Nothing at all. I would be very proud if, for any reason, you don't have to be a Christian, we did the right thing as a matter of national conscience, and we stop strangling our children. That would be a great day.